Praise the Lord. We have come to lesson number 23 of our study of the Synoptic Gospels, which are the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we started our study with the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus is portrayed as the King of the Jews. And as he set about to establish the preaching of his kingdom and establishing his constitution, we see that his teaching is contrary to the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which means that when Jesus started teaching, this is in direct contrast to what the Pharisees were teaching and they were doing among the Jewish people. The traditional religious people got offended. And so, in the last lessons, we looked into how they tried to establish the cause of rejection. We also saw that the rejection towards Jesus increased from the Jews, and also he was rejected by the heathen tetrarch, who was Herod the king. And because of that, we see that Jesus turns to the Gentiles to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. In this lesson number 23, we will see the continuation of the increase of rejection by the religious people. One of the major things that we need to understand is that when Jesus taught and he performed miracles, there was no other way but to oppose the teachings of Jesus and to prove that Jesus is a false prophet. And so they did everything. The traditional religious people tried to do everything to put Jesus down. They tried to bring testings to Jesus, and they brought accusation to Jesus, and they did everything possible so that they can bring down Jesus and to the people and say that he is not a true prophet. In this lesson, we are going to start with Matthew chapter 15 and verses 1 all the way to the end of the chapter. And then we will also look into the beginning portion of Matthew chapter 16, which is a continuation of this lesson. So we will go till verse number 12. So our study today is from Matthew chapter 15 verses 1 all the way to the end, and then Matthew chapter 16 up to verse number 12. And we are going to look into the accusation of the religious fundamental people, and also during the course of time we will see the faith of a Gentile woman who stood firm as she sought for healing from Jesus. And we will also see a miracle, the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000 people. And finally, we will see the testings which the religious fundamental people and the modern people, the modernists, they brought before Jesus. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, and we will start our lesson today with the verse number 1. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the transgression of elders? Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Now, although the Lord forsook the rejecting fundamental people, they would not stop to trouble him. They came to him from the religious centers in Jerusalem all the way in order to find fault with him. However, when they asked this kind of questions to Jesus, this gave him another chance to reveal the truth concerning the genuine cleanliness. What is meant by cleanliness? Verse number 2 says, "Why your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. So this reveals that in following the Lord, the disciples did not keep with the traditions. They only cared about the heavenly king's presence and not for anything else. Verse number 3, and he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions? Jesus is contracting the question of the religious fundamental people with a question. Now, the Jewish religious people accused the Lord's disciple of transgressing the tradition. But the Lord is condemning the religious people for transgressing the commandment of God because of their tradition. They cared for their tradition, but they ignored God's commandment. So, in principle, the religious people today also do the same thing. For example, the Roman Catholic Church and many of the Protestant denominations, they make void the Word of God because of their traditions. They hold fast to the traditions that they have received. Verse number 4, for God said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. The Lord's dealing here with the Pharisees and scribes, not only condemned them for making void the word of God because of the tradition, but also implied that man should honor his parents. God in his government among men has ordained that men or women should honor their parents. And he made this the first commandment among the Ten Commandments that concerns human relationship. This is the fifth commandment that among the Ten Commandments, and we read that in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. It reads like this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So this is the first commandments with a promise, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, fallen human nature, however, always prompt man to ignore his parents, that is to rebel against God's government. And in order to bring back the people into God's government, the Lord, as the heavenly king, emphasized that man should honor his parents. So this corresponds with his word in the constitution of the kingdom of heavens concerning the fulfillment of the law. If you are turning to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 17 to 19, Matthew chapter 5 verse 17 to 19, it says that do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So this is what the Lord came, that he came to fulfill the law and the prophets, and that's what we see that here. Now the other thing that we understand here is that the apostles, they also emphasized about this matter very strongly. If you read Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 3, Apostle Paul, in speaking to the church of Ephesus, says like this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And we also read in another portion in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. So we as a kingdom people must honor our parents and not excuse ourselves as the Jewish religious people did. So to make any excuse indicates that we are not under the heavenly ruling, but we are following our fallen nature and the rebellious trend of today's generation. It says, he who speaks evil or who insults or slanders of his father and mother or mother, let him be put to death. So it is put to death. Actually, in the literal sense, means deceased by death, meaning to die by being put to death. So the Greek word for deceased means come to one's end. So the phrase means here, come to one's end by being put to death. And we understand that this is quoted from two verses in the Septuagint. One is in, we read it's in Exodus chapter 21, Exodus chapter 21 and verse number 17, where it says that, and he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. There is another verse in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 9, and it reads like this. Leviticus 20 verse number 9, for everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. So in these two verses, what the whole thing is translated when Jesus says that he who speaks evil of his father or mother, let him be put to death. Verse number 5, and you say, whoever says to his father or his mother, whatever you would have been profited by me is now a gift of God. And gift of God means an offering to God. Shall by no means honor his father or his mother, and you have deprived the word of God of its authority because of your tradition. So, what we understand is that the tradition of the elders, or the tradition of the Pharisees and the religious people, was that the children would say to the parents that if you have been profited or if you have got anything good from me as your child, it is a gift of God for you. And Jesus says that you are have deprived the word of God because of your tradition. They are very strong words that Jesus speaks to the religious people. Verse number 7. Hypocrites, well has Isaiah prophesied concerning you, saying, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart stays far away from me. This is found in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse number 13. The people honor me with their lips, but their heart stays far away from me. So the heavenly ruling of the kingdom requires inward reality, not mere outward practices. So such ruling deals with the real condition of the heart, not with the expression of the lips. Verse number 9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as the teachings the commandments of men. This reveals that some worship that is offered to God may be in vain. And the main cause of this is to consider as the teaching the commandments of men. So we must worship God according to his word, which is the truth, and not according to the commandments or the traditions of men. Verse number 10, and he called the crowd to him and said to them, hear and understand, it is not that which enters into the mouth which defiles a man, but that which proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles a man. And Jesus turns his attention to the crowd around him, the ignorant, unlearned Gentiles around him, and says, you hear and you understand that it is not what which enters the mouth which defiles a man, but that which proceeds out of the mouth, this is what defiles a man. So this defiled means, as we understand, which makes a man common or unclean. Now, if you look to Acts chapter 11 and verse number 8, we know about Peter. When Peter had the vision or the trance, it says that Peter answered to the Lord when he saw that that big great sheet descending from heaven with all kinds of wild animals and creeping creatures in that sheet, and he was told to rise up, kill and eat. Peter answers like this: "But I say, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth." So this is the common or unclean that we are talking about. The things that the religious people were saying, that you are defiling a man, is the things that are unclean. And as we understand in the kingdom life, the defilement is not in the outward man, but in the inward, the man that is within. And that is what we have to be very careful about. Verse number 12. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were stumbled when they heard this word?" And he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up." So, the word from the heavenly King indicates that the hypocritical Pharisees had not been planted by the heavenly Father. And because of the rejection of the heavenly King, they were uprooted from the kingdom of heavens. So every plant which the heavenly Father has not been planted shall be uprooted or shall be rooted up. Verse number 14, "Let them be. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into the pit." So the self-righteous and the arrogant religious people thought that they were clear concerning the way to serve God. And they did not realize that they were blind guides of the blind. So the eyes were veiled by their religion and their traditions, and hence they could not see the reality of God's economy. And so they were not able to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. The blindness led them to fall into a pit. Verse number 15. And Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And he said, "Are you also without understanding? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled into the drain? But these things which proceeds out of the mouth of the heart, but these things which proceeds out of the mouth come out of the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil reasoning, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile the man." So it is very clear that in the kingdom of the heavens, defilement is not related to material things, but to moral matters. Material things has nothing to do with the heavenly ruling, but moral matters do. That so many evils issue from our heart proves that we are not under the heavenly ruling. And these are the things that defile. And as being part of the heavenly kingdom, we should make sure that these things, they all originate out of the heart, which are evil reasonings and murders and adulteries and fornication and thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. They are the things that defile a person. And these are the things that we have to be careful about, so that they don't defile. And not with eating with unwashed hands, that's not the one that defiles a person. Next, in chapter number 15, verses 21 to 28, we read the faith of a Gentile woman. Verse number 21, "And Jesus went from there and withdrew into the parts of Tyre and Sidon." So the further troubling by the religion, the rejecting religious people caused the heavenly king to depart further from them, even to the districts of Tyre and Sidon, which are Gentile land. And verse number 22, and behold, a Canaanite woman come out from those borders and cried out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David, my daughter suffers terribly from demon possession. So because of the rejection of the religious Jews, the opportunity to contact the heavenly king came to the Gentiles. And here it came even to a weak Gentile woman. And here she comes and cries to him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord. The title Lord implies Christ's divinity. And she also addresses him as the son of David. And the title son of David implies his humanity. So it was proper for this woman, a Gentile, to address Christ as the Lord. But she had no right to call him as the son of David, because only the children of Israel were privileged to do so. Verse number 23, but he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Lord was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. However, at this time, he came to the Gentile region, thus affording the Gentiles an opportunity to participate in his grace. So this bears some dispensational significance, showing that Christ came to the Jews first, and that because of their unbelief, his salvation turned to the Gentiles. If you read Acts chapter 36, Acts chapter 13 and verse number 46, I'm sorry, Acts 13, 46, it says, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it is necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of the everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. There is another verse we read in Romans 11, verse number 11, and we read here like this, which speaks about Israel's rejection, says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not, but through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. So something very significant we can read and understand here, that salvation has come to the Gentiles because the Jews, they have rejected it. So that's why, but Jesus, in order to test us, says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse number 25, and she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She's coming down to worship. She knows that she is the one in need, and she is acknowledging and says she worships him, saying, Lord, help me. So the second time she addresses Christ only as Lord and not as a son of David, because she realized that she is not a child of Israel, but she is a heathen. Now verse number 26, and he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Why did Jesus counteract or answer this Gentile woman in this manner? It says he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. The heavenly king's ministry in all his visits created opportunities for him to reveal himself further. Now in the situations created in chapters 9 and 12, he had opportunities to reveal himself as a physician, the bridegroom, the new cloth, the new wine, the shepherd, the real David, the greater temple, the Lord of the harvest, the one who is more than Jonah, the one who is more than Solomon. So all these different things Jesus could reveal about himself. Here is another opportunity that was created for him to reveal himself, this time as the children's bread. The Canaanite woman considered him the Lord, a divine person, and the son of David, a royal descendant, greater and high in his reign. But he unveiled himself to her as small pieces of bread, good for food. So this implied that as the heavenly king, he rules over his people by feeding them with himself as bread. We can be the proper people in his kingdom only by nourished with him as our food. To eat Christ as our supply is the way to be the kingdom people in the reality of the kingdom. So it says that it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. What does it mean by little dogs? This indicates that in the eyes of the Lord, the heathens were like dogs who were unclean. And this goes back to the ruling of the Levitical law. If you look at Leviticus chapter 11 and verse number 27, Leviticus 11:27, it says, when the laws are concerning the unclean animals, it says, and whatever goes on its paws, among all kinds of animals that goes on all fours, those are unclean to you. Whoever touches any such carcass shall be unclean until evening. So the animal that goes on its paws clearly is a dog. And so the heathens were unclean, and so in order to understand her true intention, Jesus is comparing the heathens to little dogs. But verse number 27, and she says, "Yes, Lord, for even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour. See, the Canaanite woman was not offended by the Lord's word, but she admitted that she was a heathen dog. And she considered that at that time, Christ, after being rejected by the children, the Jews, became crumbs under the table as a portion to the Gentiles. On a spiritual sense, if you look into this analogy, we know that the Holy Land of Israel was the table on which Christ, the heavenly bread, had come as a portion to the children of Israel. But they threw him off the table to the ground, which is the Gentile land, so that he became broken crumbs as a portion to the Gentiles. What a realization the Gentile woman had at that time. And it's no wonder that the heavenly king admired her faith. And Jesus says, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour. So because Jesus had been rejected by the Jewish religion, the Lord remained in Galilee of the Gentiles as a healing light. He would not go into the Jerusalem, because we see that he continued there as a light to the people. Verse number 29, we see that Jesus departed from there and came beside the Sea of Galilee. He went up to the mountain and there he sat down. where we see again that Jesus is remaining in Galilee. He comes beside the Sea of Galilee, and then he goes up to the mountain and he sits there. So he is not going back to Jerusalem right now, which is a Jews' religious center, and to heal the Jews. But he is sitting down on the mountains close to the Sea of Galilee. Verse number 30 and 31 says, "And great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the dumb, and many other sick ones, and they laid them at his feet, and he healed them." So the crowd marveled because they saw the dumb speaking, the crippled healthy, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. So all the healings that took place through Jesus, they were all for the glory of God. And we see that crowds come and they get deliverance from Jesus. They get healing from all kinds of sickness and diseases. And we see that as a result of the healing, God gets the glory, which should be what should happen in our lives too. Anything that we do in the kingdom of God, God should be the one who should get the glory and not ourselves. Now the next portion is from verses 32 to 39, and this is the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000. Verse number 32. "And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I am moved with compassion for the crowd, because for 3 days they have remained with me and they do not have anything to eat. And I am not willing to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." So Christ would not allow his followers to hunger and faint on the way while they followed after him. And we can see a compassion of God. He is not only concerned about the fact that we should do what is right and what is what would lead us to the heavenly kingdom, but also Christ is concerned about the fact that we are hungry and we are weak, and this is what the concern of Christ was about the crowd who was waiting there to hear the words of Jesus for 3 whole days, and Jesus says that they may faint in the way. But it also speaks about one thing about the crowd, that 3 days they were there with Jesus to hear the word. Look at the interest of the people to hear the word of God. The Gentiles who just was so much eager to know what Jesus had to speak to them. But then that Jesus has a compassion and he doesn't want to faint as they go back to their homes. Verse number 33, "And the disciples said to him, What can we get where can we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy so great a crowd?" So even in the barren wilderness, the Lord was able to feed his followers and satisfy them regardless of how many they were. The disciples had experienced this before in chapter 14 and verses 15 to 22 when Jesus fed the 5,000 men. And however, but it seems that they had not learned the lesson of faith. Here they set their eyes on the environment instead of the Lord. But the Lord's presence was better than a rich store. Verse number 34, "Jesus said to them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few small fish." The one thing that we need to be clear about is that the Lord always wants to use what we have to bless other people. Verse number 35, "And after he commanded the crowd to recline on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples to the crowds." If we offer all that we have to the Lord, He will take it, He will break it, and He will give it back to us for distribution to others, to whom it will become a satisfying and overflowing blessing. So whatever we offer to the Lord, however little it is, will be multiplied by His blessing hand to meet the need of a great miracle, great multitude. Therefore, His desire is fulfilled here. And so what happens that Jesus gave them to His disciples and the disciples to the crowd, verse number 37, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up what was left of the broken pieces, which was 7 baskets full. And those who ate were 4,000 men, apart from women and children. And after He sent the crowds away, He stepped into the boat and came to the borders of Magadan. Now, all the crowd, the people in the crowd, they ate and they were satisfied. And what the leftovers were gathered up back in 7 baskets. And it says that those who ate were about 4,000 men. And if you go by the previous calculation for a family of one man and a wife and 2 children, we come to that about 16,000 people approximately were there to listen to the word of Jesus. And He fed them with 7 loaves and 2 fish, which was indeed a great miracle. And all those miraculous things that He was doing was for the people who were hungry for the word of God. So it brings us a lesson that if you're seeking after the word of the heavenly King, He will feed even for our earthly needs, and He will take care of us. Chapter number 16. We will read the first portion of the chapter 16 up to verse number 12. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, and testing Him, asked Him to show them a sign from heaven. And we see that again the Pharisees and the Sadducees are coming back. They would not leave Him alone because they want to prove that Jesus is wrong and they are right, their traditions are right. So now they come in a different form. They come to test Jesus. And they ask Him for a sign out of heaven. But He answered and said to them, when evening falls, you say there will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and gloomy. The face of the sky you know how to discern, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. We see that this portion, which is you cannot discern the sign of the times, was omitted in the earlier manuscripts. And we see that the appearance of the sky you know how to discern, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. Verse number 4, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign shall not be given to it except the sign of Jonah. And He left them and went away. Now Jonah was a prophet who turned from Israel to the Gentiles and was put into the belly of a great fish. After remaining there for 3 days, he emerged to become a sign to that generation for repentance. We read that in the book of Jonah chapter 1 verses 2 verse 17 and Jonah chapter 3 verses 2 to 10. So Jonah was a type of Christ who, as a prophet sent by God to His people, which we can see in Deuteronomy chapter 18 verses 15 and 18, would turn from Israel to the Gentiles and would be buried in the heart of the earth for 3 days and would then be resurrected, becoming a sign to that generation for salvation. The Lord's word here implies that for that evil and adulterous Jewish and religious generation, the Lord will do nothing but die and be resurrected as a sign, which is the greatest sign to them that they might be saved if they would believe. Verse number 5. And when the disciples came to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So from Matthew chapter 15 verse 1 to chapter 16 verse 12, Matthew's record is very much concerning the matter of eating. Eating unclean things will defile us, or may defile us, as Jesus said. Eating is the way to partake of Christ. But by eating, we feed on the unlimited and inexhaustibly rich supply of Christ. But we must be beware of eating any leaven. We read from verse number 7. But they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we did not take bread. And Jesus, knowing it, said, why are you reasoning among yourselves, you of little faith? Because you have no bread? Do you not yet understand, nor remember that 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many hand baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that it was not about bread that I spoke to you, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There is something significant that we see, understand here. When Jesus speaks about the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, it says that there were 12 baskets that were taken. Those were the hand baskets, or the smaller baskets that were taken with the remaining crumbs and the bread pieces back. But in the feeding of the 7,000, we see that they took back 7 baskets, which are the larger baskets used for a journey. And they are larger than the hand basket. So these both are different baskets. Now let us see what is meant by the leaven of bread, which is the teaching of the Pharisees. Now this refers to the things that were taught by the Pharisees. The teaching of the Pharisees was hypocritical. If we look to Matthew chapter 23, verses 13, 15, 23, 25, 27, and 29, we understand what the teaching of the Pharisees were. And the teaching of the Sadducees, which denied the resurrection, the angel and the spirits, those were the things that the Sadducees, they taught. And we see an evidence in Acts chapter 23 and verse number 8. And this is like today's modern religion. So both the teaching of the Pharisees and the teaching of the Sadducees were impure and evil, and were likened to leaven, which was not to be seen among God's people. What is the leaven that we are talking about? This is the leaven of false teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 7 says, unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. So leaven here on the spiritual sense speaks of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees taught the traditions, while the Sadducees, they denied certain fundamental things of God, like resurrection or angels and spirit. So in both ways, they were teaching a false religion to the people. And that is why Christ says that you should beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Let me conclude my lesson here. And what we understand from the words of Jesus is that we should not go by the traditions of men. We are to worship God, and the only rule for us is the Word of God. And the only person who dictates and leads us to all truth is the Holy Spirit. Let us not hold the tradition of elders more than the Word of God. Let us truly seek after doing the will of God in our day-to-day life. And may God bless you with this lesson. This concludes lesson number 23 of our study of the Synoptic Gospels. And in the next lesson, that which is lesson number 24, we will see the path of rejection, how Jesus is taking a path which ultimately would lead him to be totally rejected by men and would cause his death on the cross of Calvary. May the Lord richly bless you with this word.